Welcome to This Week in Brattleboro History,
produced by
the Brattleboro Historical Society
and
the Brattleboro Area Middle School.
The last major solar eclipse in our area occurred during the afternoon of August 31st, 1932. However, it had only been a few years earlier that another eclipse had also happened in Brattleboro. During the morning hours of January 24th, 1925, the moon passed between the sun and the earth, and most of the sunlight from the sun was blocked by the moon. A Main Street thermometer recorded temperatures of 18 below zero, so many local residents did not venture outside to watch the sun disappear behind the moon.
The belt of totality, where 100% of the sun's light was blocked by the orbit of the moon, was south of here in New York City. Even with frigid conditions, the local paper reported that thousands of residents became astronomers for the day and caught a glimpse of the eclipse. There was speculation in the Brattleboro Reformer that the cold temperature, which began the day before, was brought about by the unusual celestial movements in the sky, but there is no scientific evidence to support the claim.
In 1925, radios were still a newfangled technology. They were in less than 10% of U.S. households, and many people did not understand how they worked. There were rumors that the radio waves would be impacted by the eclipse and broadcast stations would not be able to operate during the event. However, newspapers reported that radio reception during the eclipse did not change. If anything, signals from distant stations became clearer.
In 1925, Brattleboro experienced a 98% eclipse. The same was true in 1932. Regions north of here were in the belt of totality. In 1932, the day before the eclipse, Boston and Maine Railroad Eclipse Special passed through town, carrying 1,200 New Yorkers on their way to the White Mountains. The tourists wanted to experience the eclipse firsthand.
Many say that the 1932 eclipse was the first spectator eclipse. People traveled great distances to witness the phenomenon. For example, scientists from Tokyo Imperial Observatory of Japan were in New England to study the rare natural event. As the date of the 1932 eclipse got closer, people began to prepare for the event.
The state of Vermont issued warnings to motorists operating their vehicles during the eclipse. It was recommended that people should stay off the roads during the eclipse if at all possible. If you had to travel, then the Vermont Motor Department warned that headlights should be turned on. However, if cars were parked, lights should remain off so light pollution during the eclipse would be minimized.
Warnings were also issued about looking directly at the eclipse. People were aware that solar retinopathy could occur if precautions weren't taken. It had been the practice to look at an eclipse through smoked glass. People would burn a candle under a piece of glass until the smoke from the candle covered the glass. President Hoover used a photographic film negative to view the eclipse. These methods did not actually block all of the ultraviolet light, and studies in 1940s demonstrated the failure of these sunray blocking strategies.
A new viewing technique was marketed in the New England area. It was called an eclipse-o-scope and was sold in local stores. Here's what the Reformer wrote about the cardboard and darkened lens tools. Quote, "At the last minute, the demand for eclipse-o-scopes far exceeded the supply, and the local merchants sold their entire stock. A number of devices, ranging from exposed photographic film to empty bottles, were pressed into service. A number of youngsters smoked bits of glass and sallied forth early in the afternoon to take in the whole show. But by the time the phenomenon was visible, the soot from the smoke had settled on many faces and devices did not prove wholly satisfactory." Unquote.
The 1932 eclipse began at 2:20 p.m. and the moon gradually shut off the sun's rays until 3:30, when 98% of the sun's light was blocked by the moon. Unfortunately, much of New England found itself under cloud cover during the majority of the darkening experience, and many visitors were disappointed. Here in Brattleboro, most of the eclipse process was viewable. It was not until the final moments that clouds moved in and blocked the apex of the eclipse.
A new technology that was impacted by the eclipse was radio signals. By the 1932 eclipse, household radio ownership had increased to more than 40%. On average, Brattleboro residents could listen to approximately 25 radio stations that ranged throughout the Northeast. The Reformer reported, quote, "As the sun passed completely from sight, radio reception changed abruptly to sunset conditions. Then, for the minute and a half while the sun was completely darkened, the radio waves behaved as if it were night," unquote.
This change showed that in the darkened sky, the invisible layer of electrified air
the Kennelly Heaviside layer of the atmosphere, rose and reflected radio waves back to the surface of the Earth further than during sunlight hours. This explained the fluctuations between nighttime and daytime radio listening. Stations further away from Brattleboro came in much clearer during the eclipse, as the radio signal reflecting portion of the atmosphere rose during the darkness.
Other phenomena reported during the eclipse included hawks leaving their roosts and soaring in the air as they normally would in the evening. Flocks of starlings and swallows sought their nighttime resting places. Crickets chirped, frogs sang, roosters crowed, chickens head to their houses, cows left their pastures and began to walk to their barns. In town, pigeons settled down the eaves of various business blocks.
The 1932 eclipse occurred during the Great Depression. A comment in the Reformer summed up the local economic situation for many. Quote, "On the whole, there was but little excitement along Main Street, most of the local merchants being of the opinion that things were pretty dark these days anyway." Unquote. We'd like to thank Gilbert, Jackson, Evan, David, Pfeiffer, Lexi, Evelina, Alex, and Brielle for reading This Week in Brattleboro History.
Please join us next week for another story from our community's past.